This program is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
During the week of March 10th, MMWR published reports on human cases of H5N1 bird flu in California, traffic-related pedestrian deaths in the U.S., and more. Let's take a look at headlines from the week of March 10th. First, a new study highlights the importance of people following recommended precautions when they have potential job-related exposures to avian influenza A, H5N1 viruses that can cause H5N1 bird flu. Second, traffic-related pedestrian death rates in the U.S. increased 50% between 2013 and 2022, while many other high-income countries experienced decreases. Third, a study finds increases in neuro, ocular, and otic syphilis among some groups in Chicago, following a pattern similar to national syphilis trends. Last, CDC finds sick workers and improper temperature control are the most common causes of food-related viral and bacterial outbreaks, respectively. Welcome, I'm Mary Dott, science editor of CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Thanks for joining me for MMWR's weekly briefing for reports published the week of March 10th. People who work closely with dairy cows, poultry, or other animals with suspected or confirmed infection with highly pathogenic avian influenza A, H5N1 viruses, are at increased risk for infection. Although most human cases in the United States have occurred in workers with job-related exposure to virus-infected cows or poultry, sporadic cases of H5N1 bird flu have occurred in people without known exposure to infected animals. In our first report, human cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza A, H5N1, more than 5,000 workers at affected farms in California were monitored for symptoms. A total of 170 farm workers in California with clinical or epidemiologic links were tested for influenza A, H5 through targeted surveillance. During August 30th to December 24th, 2024, local, state, and federal public health officials investigated 38 mild human cases of H5N1 bird flu in California. 37 cases were in dairy farm workers with job-related exposures to sick cows, and one case occurred in a child with an undetermined exposure. This was the first pediatric case of H5N1 bird flu reported in the United States. To date, no person-to-person spread of H5N1 bird flu has been identified in the U.S. Most dairy farm workers who tested positive for the virus reported using personal protective equipment, or PPE. However, use of recommended PPE, such as N95 respirators, was low. Local, state, and federal public health officials provided guidance on monitoring, testing, and isolation. The fact that most cases occurred in people with job-related exposures to avian influenza A, H5N1 viruses, on dairy farms highlights the continued risk of exposure to these viruses for people who work with infected animals, and the importance of following recommended precautions to prevent infection. People whose jobs may expose them to infected or potentially infected animals are at higher risk of infection compared to the general population and should follow recommended precautions, including wearing recommended PPE. Dairy farm employers can work with local public health to assure that workers have access to appropriate PPE at no cost and train workers on its proper use. Public health agencies should provide additional education and messaging about the risks of working with infected cows and recommended precautions. In addition, ensuring workers' access to PPE might increase PPE use, particularly if done in collaboration with farm worker organizations. Traffic crashes in the United States cause more than 40,000 deaths each year. In 2022, U.S. traffic-related pedestrian deaths reached their highest number in 41 years, more than 7,500 deaths. Examining domestic and international trends in pedestrian and overall road traffic deaths can help guide and prioritize traffic safety efforts. In our second report, Pedestrian and Overall Road Traffic Crash Deaths, CDC investigators analyzed country-specific pedestrian and overall road traffic death counts and rates per population from 2013 through 2022, as well as projected 2023 U.S. estimates. In 2022, the U.S. pedestrian death rate was higher than that of 27 other high-income countries and approximately three times the median rate of these countries. The U.S. had the highest pedestrian death rates among people 15 to 64 years of age, and the second highest rate for those age 14 and younger. Local, state, and tribal public health partners, transportation-related agencies, and communities can work together to keep pedestrians safe by implementing proven strategies such as protected walkways and safe crossings, consistent street lighting, and speed management policies within a holistic, safe system approach. This approach works by building and reinforcing multiple layers of protection to both prevent crashes from happening in the first place and minimize the harm caused to those involved when crashes do occur. Total syphilis cases have surged in the U.S. since the early 2000s, increasing more than 60% during 2019 to 2023. At the national level, the percentage increase in syphilis cases during that time was much larger among women than among men. These increases are putting more people at risk for neuro, ocular, and otic syphilis, or NOO syphilis, with outcomes that are often debilitating and can include meningitis, stroke, motor or sensory deficits, blindness, and hearing loss. In 2023, healthcare providers in Chicago reported an increase in NOO syphilis among heterosexual people without HIV. In our third report, Neurosyphilis, Ocular Syphilis, and Otic Syphilis in Chicago, investigators reviewed cases of NOO syphilis reported to the Chicago Department of Public Health to better understand the impact across the city and to describe the demographic and clinical characteristics of the cases. During January 1st to October 31st, 2023, 40 cases of NOO syphilis were reported to the Chicago Department of Public Health. Cases were identified more frequently in people without HIV and in people who were not men who have sex with men, also called MSM, compared with cases identified in 2019. Among 33 patients whose sex and that of their sex partners were documented, about 55% were not MSM, compared with 25% in 2019, and nearly 68% of cases occurred among people without HIV, compared with less than half in 2019. These changes are in line with national syphilis trends. Patients who receive a diagnosis of syphilis and have neurologic, ocular, and/or otologic symptoms should be evaluated for neurosyphilis, ocular syphilis, or otosyphilis, according to their clinical presentation. NOO syphilis can occur at any syphilis stage. Approximately 800 foodborne illness outbreaks occur in the United States each year, resulting in approximately 15,000 illnesses, 800 hospitalizations, and 20 deaths. Understanding the common causes and implementing proper food safety practices can prevent foodborne illness outbreaks. In our last report, Contributing Factors of Foodborne Illness Outbreaks, investigators analyzed National Outbreak Reporting System, or NORS, data to understand how outbreaks occur and to provide new considerations for industry and regulators to protect against germs based on how foodborne outbreaks begin. A foodborne illness outbreak is defined as two or more cases of a similar illness associated with a common exposure, such as shared food or eating in the same place. During 2014 to 2022, the majority of viral outbreaks were caused by sick workers contaminating food. Most bacterial outbreaks were caused by contamination of food before arriving at the point of final preparation. However, if we focus on contamination issues at retail establishments, most bacterial outbreaks were caused by allowing foods to remain out of temperature control for a prolonged period and inadequate time and temperature control during cooking. Restaurant managers can reduce the risk of food contamination from sick employees by creating clear policies on managing sick workers, planning ahead for staffing shortages when sick workers need to stay home, and understanding why employees might come to work while sick. Health department staff can help by reminding restaurants to follow food safety plans and proper procedures, such as cooling food correctly to prevent outbreaks. That's all for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe to MMWR to stay up to date on the latest scientific information. Stay safe and stay well.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.